This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So is there any truth, Matthew McConaughey, that Texas is leaving the Big 12 because you knew Dion was coming?
Wow. What's the latest? What's happened in the last 12 hours? Did the Oregon water boy say something?
No, I don't.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner. Coming up, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Commanders running back Brian Robinson. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, will join us in 20 minutes' time. You ready for that, TJ Jefferson? Baby. You're a head coach of the 2-0 Dallas Cowboys.
I still don't know what you're going to ask him, so I'm still a little nervous.
Once upon a time with the Niners staff, then he goes to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. He's coached both sides of the ice bowl.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He's hitting all the legendary franchises.
Dude, if I had told you on the day that Dez caught it and then didn't catch it against his Green Bay Packers that he'd be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys one day, you would have said what?
I wouldn't have been able to say onto this Roku microphone
what you were thinking
at that moment. Yeah, because I had no love for nobody over there.
Settle down just a little bit.
I'll tell you what. That was what a catch. That was a catch.
It was a catch.
It's 100% a catch, and that was when the NFL had to start reckoning with physical –
Freaks
that can catch a ball but in the process of catching the ball, not just take two or three steps that will gain you 10 yards, but at the same time have the wherewithal to move the upper part of your body and extend out all at the same time.
But he fumbled after, right?
Well,
after he crossed the goal line and the
was it a touchdown? Are you of the mindset that
Dez did not catch it?
Well, I'm going to...
You'd be in the extreme minority, right?
As the rule at the time then, it was not
in the same way that it wasn't a fumble on the snow game night, and I use those words as out of your respect.
Thank you.
You know, Amy Trask, co-host of What the Football, the other day referred to it as the tuck rule game, Chris. That's the way Raiders fans and the rest of the free world refers to it as a tuck rule game. All the New Englanders refer to it as the snow game.
I'm watching it right now. It's 100% a catch.
I harbored a little ill will towards Dean Blandino for years after that.
Well, by the way, Sterator was the ref that day.
Oh, shocking.
Dude, he's good.
I think all refs are bad at this point.
Sean Hockley last night.
that was super quick.
if you turn on your game,
he's trending
on Thursday,
yes,
or Sunday or Monday, and you're like, great, I can't wait to watch my game. Wait, who's the ref tonight? Oh, you know you're gonna get screwed. You just know
that's screwed. It's just over officious. It's over officious. And then my man Scott Foster. I kind of have this issue with talking about Sean Hockley in this manner right now, because technically, deep down, I feel that I'm an unofficial Hockley. And, you know, that's what I think of whenever in my workouts, I think, okay, I got to keep up with the Hockleys. But that's a terrible reality show. Terrible. Keeping up with the Hockleys. Terrible. But that's what maybe Sean was pitching to Prime Video management last night. You don't. Here's the thing.
It's him. It's
you
Clint.
Know what I was been saying. Does you know what I've been saying about baseball umpires for years? Like, let's mic them up so they can explain to the audience what we're seeing, what we're reviewing, instead of, you know, Country Joe West back in the day just taking off the headsets and just grunting like safe out.
Safe.
You know, like just performing semaphore for the confused audience at home and in the stands. Like, what were you looking at? And why is this not reversed? Or why is this upheld? Explain yourselves. So then there's a line that he kind of crosses, but his dad always spoke in quatrains. You know, I mean, it was
shocking.
They were like haikus.
He needs to take the mic away from them.
But so here's the metric. If your trending is an official, you just don't want to trend.
You don't want to trend
as an official. He trended last night.
Yeah.
Sean Hockley trended on the old X machine last night. Here's the other metric that I equated to. In my career, back in the day, I was the environmental reporter for the Staten Island Advance, as they referred to it, the hometown newspaper of Staten Island, New York.
Advance.
Yes, and I was I did a feature on Exxon having their new, you know, facility across the river in New Jersey, And the reason why we were all interested in what was going on across the river in New Jersey is the jet stream would blow all the crap across Staten Island. A couple times, I actually got out of school because ash from one of the many petrochemical plants on the other side of the river in New Jersey spread off so much crap on Staten Island. School's closed.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm a health miracle growing up in this environment.
You're actually
a great place to grow up, I should say. But anyway, they had some new like lake preserve where egrets were hatching, and they wanted to show off how environmentally conscious they were as a petrochemical company. And I went and I did a feature on them, and they sent a thank you note to me, and I showed it to one of my colleagues. I remember his name, David Martin, great dude. He said to me, "Congratulations, you're an environmental reporter that just got a thank you note from Exxon. I wouldn't be too proud of that." That's what he said to me. That's what I think of when I see an official trending on X. Like, you don't want it. You don't want it. Congratulations. Everybody's talking about you. Some of those penalties last night. And one last thing here. I am now completely 100% trained, attuned to despise the replay of any roughing the passer penalty before it's on the screen. Roughing the passer, so-and-so, 15-yard penalty, first down. And when it's time to see the replay, I'm like watching it through my hands, like, please, please don't be about playing football. Don't, please, oh, God.
Explain to me what Leonard Williams did against the rule last night.
By rule, land his entire body weight on top of Brock Purdy.
Completely disagree.
But to me, how is he supposed to?
He made a perfect form tackle as he was throwing it.
He hit him where he's supposed to.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I know he did.
You would put that on a training video.
It was perfectly timed.
For defensive linemen.
Perfectly placed on his body.
Like, what are we doing?
It's just that when he went down, all of his body weight was on top of him. And I just don't know. How are you supposed to lose weight in the middle of a tackle? How are you, honestly, what
it
are you supposed
stupid.
To?
Stupid.
And you should just go. What would be your excuse to the official? Like, hey, you know, I've been dieting lately. So it's not my full body weight. I lost 10 pounds in the last week. I've been staying off the trans fats.
There's this thing called gravity.
You know, I'm trying my best to not put my full body weight.
Today
is less than it was yesterday because I'm eating right. Don't flag me. Like, seriously, what are they supposed to do?
Give him a red jersey and flags at this point. It is ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. And I guarantee you, the league in their reports or whatever gets put out will 100% say that's a flag.
Well, they'd be 100% wrong.
That's it. That happened last night. That's how Sean Hockley got trending. And I would have trended for that outstanding article about the beautiful egret community that was growing.
The what?
The egret community of Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Sounds like mold.
Back in what year would this be? Oh, back in 1992. Yeah, man. Those egrets were hatching. And I was writing about it. All right, we'll take a break in a minute. Let me pause. Mike McCarthy's about to join us.
Oh, baby.
That's not very likely. He doesn't show up on these shows.
Well, he knows I'm on, I think.
Maybe. You know what's more likely?
That he doesn't know?
This Friday segment. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it.
Hit it. Hit it.
Give me my theme music. Sorry, my bad. There we go.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. Presented by Subway. We are presented. What's more likely?
Hey.
Presented by Subway. Christopher, what do you have over there?
I'll take a Subway melt with extra avocado, please. Oh, you want the segment. What's up, guys?
Hey. What's going on?
Hey, what up, Chris?
Hey, thanks. Thanks, TJ. Great. Mm-hmm. Who's the more likely 2-0 home team to get tripped up for their first loss, Ravens or Dolphins?
Oh, Dolphins are home against Denver, and Baltimore is home against Indianapolis.
Gardner Minshew.
I will go Miami. You know what I'd like to see this weekend? I'd like to see the participation of the South Florida sports fan in a seat in this stadium. Because I will proffer to say There are many Broncos fans who have moved to the Sunshine State, and they are going to show, despite their 0-2-ness, that they feel like Sean Payton is someone to root for. I just feel maybe, just maybe, Miami Dolphins fans give a home field advantage of significance to this team that has earned their viewership, I believe. But short of that, if I had to guess, I would take Russ and Sean Payton on the road. This is where Sean once famously went onside kick for a Super Bowl win back in 2009. This is the spot where Payton's had his greatest moment of his professional career. And I would say that this is a more likely upset than Gardner Minshew and Rainey, as we're expecting Baltimore, Maryland coming up with that one. So right. I will go there.
Sean Payton was almost the Dolphins head coach with Tom Brady at quarterback.
Oh, boy. That led to a pick forfeiture, did it not?
Forfeiture, yes.
Okay.
Who's the more likely NFC South team to win on the road this weekend to get to 3-0, Falcons or Saints?
I'll go with Falcons. I'll go with Falcons. I kind of dig the fact that Jordan Love is going to have his first home start, and it does appear Aaron Jones is going to be there. And I have a feeling, you know, look, Lambeau's a tough place to play and win in if you're on the road. And so Atlanta going to Detroit. And again, this is, I'm definitely attuned to this because I have Amon-Ra St. Brown on my fantasy team.
Nice.
Healthy? I don't know. We're going to check on that practice report today. So I will go what's more likely right here being the Falcons winning that one on the road more than the Saints winning in Lambeau. I'll go there.
All right, big game in Minnesota. Who's the more likely winless quarterback to throw for 300 yards and three tutties to avoid 0-3, Herbert or Kirk Cousins?
I'll go Kirk Cousins, pal. I'll go Kirk Cousins. At home,
what time's this game? Because that's really important.
That is an early window, pal.
All right, there you go. So Kirk Cousins will win.
I'll go Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins at home and feeling it and throwing to the guy who TJ Jefferson identified as him this week.
I can feel it.
Jordan Addison.
Yes.
So I will go in that direction as well. Christopher, what's next?
Who's the more likely first-round rookie running back with more total yards on Sunday? Bijan or Jahmyr? Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs?
Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs? I'll just be consistent here. We haven't seen the full Jahmyr Gibbs yet, have we?
We have not.
Boy, but I was like, you should have harmonized that.
well, because I do have him.
That sounds like somebody on fantasy. Do you both have him on fantasy?
Well, I have Bijan.
Oh. I have Jahmyr. So.
And that makes you the Wonder Twin Powers. Activate.
Okay. Four above a buck of the water.
I'll be consistent here. I said Atlanta's the more likely NFC South team to go to 3-0 by winning on the road this week, and I will say Bijan, it will carry them and lead them. And I hope he does, because I'm going against Tyson Allgeier in fantasy, and I hope I hope he gets as vultured can possibly be by Bijan.
That'd be great.
Even though it's been the other way around.
The other way around.
I know.
Yeah.
Tyler would be the...
What else is next there, Christopher? What else?
Both these units have been pretty stout this season, especially last week. How about the road defense to score a touchdown? Cowboys or Steelers?
How do you not take Micah Parsons versus Josh Dobbs in Arizona? I mean, I'm sorry.
They've been plucky.
I saw what the Steelers just did. I appreciate the pluckiness. Honestly, how good do we all look preseason saying Mike is the defensive player of the year through 2 weeks? Out of all of our preseason picks, what's looked the strongest?
We did all have that one.
So
I can't believe to flip it. Yes, there are some other good players, like T.J. Watt.
Of course.
He's out there doing the thing, too. So
he scored a touchdown last week.
Big favorite, Micah is.
I love Micah, but T.J. also.
End of story. Onward. What else you got over there, Christopher?
How about this one? How about, looks like we're going to see both these guys now that Anthony Richardson is out. Backup quarterback to get an upset road win, Andy Dalton or Gardner Minshew?
I'll go Andy Dalton. I would put Seattle on upset alert.
Really?
Yeah, pal.
You've seen Carolina play, right?
Let me say this to you, Chris.
They stink.
Well, part of that is that you've got a young quarterback who is holding on to the ball too long.
That's true.
And so you'll see this offense work a heck of a lot more efficiently this weekend, merely because the Red Rifle is in there.
He lit them up last year with the Saints.
I'm telling you, if I'm Seattle, I'm like, damn it. We wanted the fresh meat kid that just is looking around and holding on to the ball, who is also, you know, has we're let's put it this way. We're talking more about how slight Bryce Young is
two games in than
his sleight of hand.
Yeah.
So I would go Andy Dalton on the road as an upset special with Carolina. Defense also balling out. Hell yeah. Miles Sanders starts running the ball. And yeah.
Minshew, I think, is 1-11 in his last 12 starts. All right. I think this one's kind of fun. Maybe you guys agree. Are we more likely to see Taylor Swift at Arrowhead this weekend, or the Chiefs feel like a 22-point win?
Good one, man.
I don't know about you, but
not both?
I feel like a 22-point.
I think the 22-point win, I think, you know.
Think she's showing up at Arrowhead?
I don't think she's showing up at Arrowhead.
That'd be awesome.
I don't think so. You know? I think I heard Travis's response to the latest.
Yeah.
And
so basically confirmed, right?
I just think that it's more than likely that his answer was more robotic than nice. Than even Justin Fields.
Nice.
So I don't know. I think he was accusing his brother of lighting the flame in a way.
What Ian Rappaport of Travis Kelce news?
Just where he was talking about his brother's love life, and Travis went on, and said basically to his brother, "Look what you made me do. I gotta say this.
Did he hit him with that now? Did he hit him with a lose my number, Jason?
So."
We can do this all day.
Is that the end of it?
No, last one.
Right,
last one. A little college action here. Who's more likely to get an interconference road upset? Ole Miss or Colorado?
You know where I'm going on this.
You're going to take Lane?
No.
Oh.
I'm not taking Lane.
Lane's only a 7-point dog.
I get it.
Not a 21-point
dog.
Okay.
I get it. I am not going to do anything but put my full faith and belief in Deion Sanders and Colorado Buffaloes. Every time you think it's not going to happen, it happens. There's a reason why Matthew McConaughey came on this program yesterday, and I mentioned Deion Sanders, Colorado Buffaloes, and he came up with the perfect answer. He's like, what's happened? Has anything happened in the last 12 hours?
That was funny.
It's because everything's happening.
Yeah.
And the latest of everything's happening would be a road win. Will it happen? I don't know. You could definitely say that Ole Miss is better than Colorado and Alabama's not as good as Oregon. And thus, that's more likely. But we're not sitting here talking about the Lane effect, are we?
No.
Okay. So that's it, pal. I'm going with Deion being more likely to come up with the road upset than Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss running Rebels. Well done, sir. Good job.
Thank you.
What's More Likely presented by Subway. Subway's now slicing their meats fresh. Try a new Deli Hero from the Subway series and taste the difference for yourself. What's More Likely presented by Subway. Let's take a break. Mike McCarthy, when we come back to the Dallas Cowboys. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki. A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki, Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Hi, everybody. We're back here. Hey. Are you psyched or what?
Hello.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy never does this stuff.
Well, he calls into us, but that's about it.
That's right.
I think he did PK's pod. Yeah. I did this week, too, so that's something we have in common.
But it's our first Zoom with him, so that's the thing.
Ah. Peter King, you did
with
Peter
our
King?
New technology.
You did Peter King this week?
I did.
Nice.
I Zoomed with him, too.
Of course. That's what we do now, Rich. We got new technology.
Hey, when PK calls, you say yes.
Of course.
I did Peter King and Julian Edelman's podcast.
Look at you. Look at the anti-Kyle Brandt.
Can I ask a question? I missed that whole thing.
Yeah, he went on Good Morning Football. And
I didn't like it, but...
I didn't.
I think he was trying to have fun with it, sort of.
Yeah.
I heard, obviously, the interview, what he said, you and Susie, and you had the thing, but
there are a lot of podcasts out there.
Right.
But that just because people love listening to it.
Yeah.
And
people, you're going to get asked. I get asked to do podcasts, and it's like, you don't always want to do it, but I feel like paying it forward.
Oh, really? So your arm's being twisted doing a guesting on podcasts?
No, but I say yes because it's like a pay for it.
Sarah's got, how many podcasts does she have?
She's doing a couple right now.
Right. It's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
You're also a celebrity who goes to tournaments. So
he's an actor. He's not an actor. He's not a celebrity. He's an actor. Please.
I'm an actor.
Give this man credit.
Well,
being
a celebrity is higher
credits
than being an actor.
Who the hell is Rich? Thank you. What was that?
That just dropped out.
Yeah, you just dropped it.
I realized it was the wrong one as I hit it.
Sorry.
Who the hell is Rich Eisen?
Yeah, that's that was fine.
Do we have one with my name?
Who the hell is Chris Brockman?
That's right. Don't worry about it.
Who the hell is Rich Eisen?
Did you make one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It moved. Things have been changed.
Wow. Can we get you guys in the same page
here? Is it just this chair? Is it whoever's
this chair
sitting in the chair?
The difference is he can't hear. Mike just doesn't listen. That's the difference between these two.
What?
Thank you. Well done.
Well done.
Well done. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's greatly appreciative of this man stopping by in advance of taking on the Arizona Cardinals. The Cowboys are 2-0, and this man's 1-1. Talk about the only guy on planet Earth to say I've been the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and now the current head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Mike.
Doing well, Rich. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Hey, good to see you, too. I'm just wondering if that ever happens to you when you just, you know, catch the star on your hat or on your shirt or walking down the hallway. Does that ever catch you again that you've done both of these iconic coaching gigs, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. Someone asked me if I ever, the other day, if I thought about this growing up. And I don't recall walking down the streets of Pittsburgh thinking about being the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. So it's a lot of gratitude for two incredible opportunities. So extremely blessed.
Absolutely. And so let's just jump into, if you don't mind, the story that's happening and unfolding in Dallas, starting with the most immediate. That Trevon Diggs goes down for the season. What happened? What can you tell us? What happened with him?
Yeah, so I mean, it was a normal drill in practice, and it's just your heart just really goes out to Trevon, and I think like anything as a football team, it's a punch in the gut, but so much more on a personal level. I mean, if you just see the reaction from his teammates and the coaching staff, so so important to love and support him right now, and that's really the focus. Because as we know, the game moves forward, but he's a tremendous, tremendous, influence in our locker room and just the way he's grown over the years. He's a big part of who we are as a football team, especially as a defense. We all understand that, the caliber of player, but, when you talk about building a program through the draft and, he's come in here day one and made an immediate impact, but, he was at the top of his game, right now, but it's, just really the focus is on him personally. And I can't say enough about how our players and coaching staff have reacted to this. And, it's tough for all your guys when all your guys get hurt, no question. But you know, he's an impact player.
How do you handle that as an HC, where you know obviously you got to have next man up? It's going to be a next man up mentality. Clearly, when toe meets ball on Sunday in Arizona, next man up, and we're moving on. But this is such a significant player, not just for this week, but for your entire Super Bowl hopes. How do you handle such a thing with your team, Mike?
Well, the reality of it is, you know, to have a successful championship season, you're going to have to go through adversity, and it comes in different forms and fashions each and every year. So, and that's just a hard reality of our game. So it's really an opportunity for the depth of our football team, especially on defense, to step up and continue to move forward. But yeah, there's no question. You don't replace a player like Trayvon, but it is an excellent opportunity for, you know, Deron Bland and Jay Lou and the other guys to step up and keep moving our defense, because, you know, we do have a great defense, and we're going to be challenged each and every week. And, you know, this is part of that, you know, unfortunate challenge of the NFL. I mean, you have injuries. It's and there's nothing you can, you know, you try to be safe and you risk assess and everything that you do, but it's the unfortunate part of our game.
When did you first realize Micah Parsons was special, Mike McCarthy? When did you first realize that?
I think the first time I saw him put his foot in the ground, you know, early in his time here and chase the quarterback. He's just different. I mean, his, you know, and then you have the tools of your GPS, and there's just certain players that are genetically have more gifts than others. And if you just see how he revs, you know, his body, you know, production output is just off the charts, you know, and he has the work ethic and loves football, super competitive man. And he's grown in every which way. But I mean, this guy's competing at chess, ping pong, I mean, whatever you put in front of him. But yeah, the first impression of him cutting the corner and chasing down the quarterback, you could tell right then he was different.
Well, I mean, is it true that on occasion this summer you had to take him off the field so the offense could get some reps? Is that true during training camp?
No, what's true is I should have taken him off the field so the offense could get some reps. It was really irritating, the guy calling the offensive plays, that's for sure. It was clearly his best training camp. He was a wrecking ball every single day. And frankly, it was great work for us. So, you know, we had a number of offensive linemen, particularly our young guys, that had to go against him, you know, more than you probably would like. But what a great experience for them.
Well, you've been around a lot of football teams, a lot of football programs, and a lot of great defensive players, Mike. And where does Parsons rank? I mean, how does he compare with you?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely – I mean, I think those are great questions at the end of his journey. But he has a chance to be, you know, as good or the best that's ever played. I mean, he has that kind of ability, but he's – you can see the maturation, and I think Dan and the defensive staff do an incredible job of continuing to move him around, and he's putting in the extra time to be on top of the schemes, not only for what he does, but how he affects the game. I mean, he is clearly an impact player. You have to know where he is. I know I would, as an offensive coordinator, mindset where he is each and every play, because, you know, he's a total wrecking ball.
Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and as everybody we just heard our last couple of minutes here, the play caller, once again, in your career, Mike McCarthy, you're dialing him up now. What do you love about that?
Well, a lot of things. You know, I love the grind. I mean, Tuesday was always, you know, outside of Sunday, Tuesday was always one of my favorite days of the week because, you know, we were able to put the plan together, you know, get it onto the call sheet and start building it. So I've always enjoyed that process. So now to be right at the point of it and back in that seat, I'm really enjoying that part of it. And the ultimate is the challenge on Sunday. So I think as a head coach, you're always evaluating on how you can improve, you know, your coaching operations. And each and every year, it's something you have to take a hard look at. So I'm real excited to be in the seat to try to affect the outcome of the game more.
It's okay if you call yourself a control freak, Mike. I mean, all coaches are. I mean, you know, right? I mean, was it difficult the last couple of years for you to just, you know, hand it off to someone else and be the HC of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike?
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, whether it's ever how you want to label it, control freak, or I look at it more as ego management. You cannot be successful in this business without an ego. So the honest part of it, we all have egos. And And it, unfortunately, Richard, you know, you have an ego too.
I know, there's an I in my first and last name, Mike. There's an I in my first and last name. I don't know if you know, but, you know, my name's literally everywhere in this studio. So guilty as charged. Guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. Guilty. So I do think it's something you learn as a leader, because you want that ego, you want that energy, you want that confidence that comes with every individual in your program, and it's no different for myself. So I looked at it more as a, you know, ego management, and you know, make sure that the roles were defined with description and responsibility. And so I'm excited to have this new responsibility.
So I want to put all these pieces together, because I just found it fascinating, Mike, that last week you had Zach Wilson and the Jets in your house. You knew everything that was going on with this team and everything that was going on maybe with Zach last year. And obviously you being knowledgeable about Aaron Rodgers and from the past and present, all of that, that you decided after winning the toss to put your offense on the field rather than just put clearly Micah Parsons and his special ability with that special unit on the field. Why did you do that? I mean, what was your thought process there?
Well, I mean, every game has a starting point. You know, you have an approach and a plan every single game you compete in. And then, you know, you're obviously trying to get the game to go, you know, go down the right road. And there's always ebb and flows in every one of these opportunities. But the goal is really to try to get on. Everybody, we always want to start fast, but we wanted to try to get out in front and, you know, apply some pressure, you know, to their offense playing against our defense. So, and, you know, we had tremendous respect for their defense. And they're as good as advertised, I can tell you that. Clearly, after playing against those guys. So, I mean, their front is exceptional. And, you know, they've got playmakers in the perimeter group, too. So, I think just, you know, I thought our guys did a great job of sticking to the plan. And, you know, we knew we were going to have to go a long way on those guys and, you know, establish some long drives. So, just the opportunity to get started and try to establish that was the focus.
Tom, yes, again, I just driving straight at it. Then did you feel great about your game plan that, okay, we're going to go against their strength right off the bat rather than maybe terrorize the kid, you know, in our spot and get up early in that way? Truly. I'm just wondering the process here.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think like all of us, we always feel good about our plan going in, but I think it's, you know, how, you know, what's the starting point? I'm a big believer in starting points. You know, we actually name each day of the week. This is, you know, Fast Friday, and Furious Finish Friday. So everything we do today is focused on the beginning of the game and at the end of the game. So it's just really utilizing those focal points and sticking to your practice plan and you know, trying to get off on the right foot. So that was just really the approach, you know, for the Jets.
A few minutes left with Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Cowboys, 2-0 right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now that you're playing, now that you're calling the plays, your connectivity with Dak, walk me through the nuts and bolts of that and how it's working.
Well, I'm loving it. I'm loving every minute. I'm missing a quarterback review right now, but don't feel bad about that.
Okay.
We're okay. Scotty Tolzien and Brian Schottenheimer do an incredible job. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but being back in the quarterback room 100% is, you know, and that's, you know, it's there's every part of your journey that you truly love. And, you know, at one day, you know, when my time is done in the league, I hope to be a quarterback coach at Jones Junior High. I just love being in that room because that position is so challenging. There's so much to, you know, to do. And Dak is an incredible, you know, leader and personality and work ethic and all that. And just the connection he has with the other quarterbacks and just the way the room's set up. So I am definitely enjoying every minute of that.
Well, boy, was there a whole conversation about the room being set up the way that it is for this year now that Trey Lance is there. What have you seen from him so far, Mike?
Obviously, you know, his athletic ability is, you know, speaks for itself. And, you know, I've just been so impressed with the young man. He's excellent work ethic, you know, and this is, this is every offense is different. I mean, he's going through the transition, you know, as far as the reads and the footwork, and but he's off to a really good start, so he's a great fit for us.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure you're aware, Mike, outside of the building, that Lance's arrival was another opportunity for a pile-on on Dak and many in my profession, and you've been around the special ones as well, Favre, Rodgers, and I'm wondering, you know, if you're what would you say to pound the table for Dak for people who feel that he is not elite in this league, Mike McCarthy?
Well, I could just go off my past experiences. I mean, you know, I've been in a lot of great quarterback rooms, but, you know, when you have a quarterback room that has, you know, Favre and Rodgers in it, you know, that's something that you look at both their careers, it's clearly speaks for itself. So, yeah, this, I mean, Dak is the lead dog in our room. There's no question about that. And, you know, Trey's a young guy with a lot of, talent. That's, you know, we're going to have to continue to develop to fit our system. Just some of the things we ask him to do in our system. But let's not forget about Cooper Rush. I mean, Cooper is, you know, an outstanding veteran that has established himself, and he's made some slight changes to his game that I've been super impressed with. So, and Cooper's, you know, he's that veteran that's coach smart. He could probably coach in this league tomorrow if he's dumb enough to pursue it that way and, you know, stay out of this rat race. But it's just a really good room, and that's the reality of it too. So you never have enough good quarterbacks. You know, even Will Greer had a great, you know, year and a half with us too. So you know, that's just has always been the approach. And I think really looking back in my time, you know, Ron Wolf was the, you know, he's the one that really set the, you know, set the standard. You know, of drafting quarterbacks, you know, each and every year or every other year. So just keep trying to build that room. So. But yeah, there's nothing internally that takes me away from the focus of Dak Prescott being our lead guy.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Will Greer, the way Dak dialed up those plays that night in preseason. Maybe he's going to for your job, Mike, Dak.
Hey, it's good. Competition's good, Rich. Internally, externally, it's
okay.
Conflict is good. Competition's good. So, yeah.
Okay. He definitely did a great job that night.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
How often do you connect with Jerry Jones throughout the week, Mike?
Oh, a couple times a week, you know, when he's obviously when he's here, obviously in practice, but you know, we talk on the phone regularly, and Steven's you know, also, and it's, you know, it's really, you know, when you talk to either one of them, it's, you know, those guys obviously are spend a tremendous amount of time together. But yeah, we have a really good network and communication.
Well, I mean, what does he want to know? What can you? Because again, you're in your previous gig, the owners were the people, you know, so now. Now you've got clearly a unique setup in Dallas. Does Jerry want to know game plan and break it down?
I'll be honest with you. He's extremely respectful, you know, of the added responsibility I have on my plate, and that's something that we've talked about on a regular basis. So if anything, he doesn't, you know, doesn't want to take up, you know, more time than is needed. But you know, we talk about all the things we need to talk about, so that, you know, that part is, that hasn't changed at all.
Okay. And so, because again, it was about a year plus ago he came on this show before the season, Mike, and he said that years ago, before the third Super Bowl win, he said he made a deal with the Lord saying, if you give me this one, I won't ever ask for another one again. And he said, I'd like to now redo that deal. So you clearly understand. He literally said that.
I wish you had told me before I took the job.
Yeah, you know what? I wish I had had that avenue to tell you that. Yeah, because if there's anybody that can redo a deal with the Lord or try to, it would be Jerry.
We're in good hands there, that's for sure.
So the pressure that he might place upon you or any sense of that, Mike, I'm sure you hear that conversation about coaching for your gig. Do you feel that? In Dallas right now, Mike?
I think it's just the reality of when you're blessed to hold a premier job, which I have my whole head coaching career. I think we all get it as coaches. You know, yes, there definitely would be a long line outside the door. So I think just like anything, it's I keep my focus on the job every single day. You know, I feel like now being in this position, I'm back to doing it the way I've always done it. And, you know, and I'm extremely comfortable with my process and have, you know, the confidence that's more than enough confidence, ego management, all those things to get the job done.
Okay. Fantastic. Last one for you. Again, I know it's just one at a time. You got Arizona. Did you watch last night? Because you know you got San Francisco down the road in a couple of weeks, Mike?
I really would like to. I mean, actually, we didn't finish up until well into the fourth quarter. So yeah, I did not watch it.
Okay, so let me help you out. Look out for McCaffrey and Debo. Keep an eye out for them. You know, they use them. What else can I tell you? Nick Bosa, block him. At one point last night, the Giants did not, actually. Okay. What else can I tell you? Purdy's pretty good, you know.
Tell you what.
Kittle, look out for Kittle. Circle 85. pass
we'll be calling you in a couple weeks. So we appreciate the insight.
You're welcome. I'm here. I'm here for you, Mike.
Yeah, you know, you that's, always have
been. Again, even though there is an I in my first and last name and my name is literally everywhere, I'm here for you. And I appreciate you being here, Mike.
You're right. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
You
have
bet.
A great day.
You know, I should have, can we get him back on? I could show him my, my mug. Mm.
Oh.
See?
Hmm. Name on the mug.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On the graphic behind you, the graphic in front of you.
Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All you see, all season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports on your or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. That's right. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and yours truly all season long for free and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Yeah, you could have done that one better.
Let's take a break. I'll also find out.
Let me do it.
Play that. You see the new drop?
Just a little deeper.
One of the new drops, not the AA run, but that was insubordinate and churlish.
Yeah. Oh, you could have went a little deeper.
I want to get your thoughts on Mike McCarthy, TJ Jefferson.
Yeah, you did something I don't appreciate.
Well, that's called a tease. 844-204-RICH, number to dial as well, here on the Rich Eisen. And a fascinating way to look at NFL standings that I saw on the old X machine today. We'll talk about that coming up.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. All right, so you've heard of the phrase unintended consequences before, right? We found out on RES Consulting and a little unintended consequence of our breaking coverage of Joe Burrow walking to work yesterday just to see how his calf is doing. We noticed there's a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up or a little slow gait. We don't know. We just don't know what it is, but we did also see over and over again when we would watch it in the background, two guys hugging it out, and we even pointed that out. We know who those two gentlemen are. Because one of them saw our coverage. James, I think, Rappian, who, let me get him right here, publisher of All Bengals. He loves his Cincinnati sports he's covering. Said he was hugging it out with K Barnett 15. That is the local 12 executive producer, Kevin Barnett.
Oh.
So despite the most important walk, you know, James is just like, I don't care. I'm seeing Kevin. I'm going to dap him up. I'm going to give him a hug.
What's up, my man?
He's not even looking at James. If you're all Bengals, that's the Bengal you need to be all in looking at.
That's my man right there.
Clearly, Kevin's his man.
Specifically, the right leg.
So.
It's sleeved up.
Clearly, you always have love for my man, Kevin, even when Joe Burrow is walking to practice. Do we call that a walk or an amble?
A slow amble.
There was a quick 2-second video today. He was holding his helmet, didn't have the jersey on over the pads, holding the jersey.
No.
Plain pads on.
Oh, my.
Holding helmet.
What do we make of this? Nothing.
Not playing.
Okay. Oh, is what you're saying?
No, I don't know. Still.
I might want to switch.
Only thing
we
know is that Kevin Barnett is James's BFF, regardless of the news breaking around.
Holler at your boy.
Very funny.
Back here on the program. We follow up our stories
of course.
Right here on this show. All right, what did you have a problem with me talking to Mike McCarthy?
I thought the interview was great.
Thank you.
But
by the way, that's a very Rome type thing. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Tell me how great I am.
But the thing is, at the end of the interview, it went kind of south. You've got Coach speaking about the Niners. That's in 2 weeks. We're focused on the Cardinals right now, Rich.
Like,
we can't look ahead of this team because next thing you know, like the Cardinals, Josh Dobbs is putting up bulletin board material. Like Rich Eisen showed Mike McCarthy don't respect us. And next thing you know, we got to deal with that.
Well, he said he was too busy preparing for the Cardinals. He gave the answer that it's okay.
But you kept pushing the words. That's 2 weeks from now.
I didn't mean that as to disrespect you. I even fronted it by saying, you know, I asked the question and
you didn't ask any question about Hollywood Brown.
I inoculated the question by saying I understand you do week to week stuff and what's the only game in front of you, but come on, you don't think he peaked at Thursday Night Football just to see what the Niners are doing?
Well, but like, you know,
at least I made up for it by saying when he can confirm my scouting report when he watches the film, you should block Nick Bosa and keep your eye out for Debo and Christian McCaffrey on offense.
Well, these are things
you could just pass that along to Dan Quinn. You're welcome.
Damn act together.
Thank you. Tom in Brea, California has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Rich, how you guys doing?
What's going on, Tom?
Man. Well, I am a longtime SoCal fan.
Okay.
Love all SoCal sports.
Okay.
And I hate everything north.
Okay.
You know,
you sound like Sean Mitchell of the Rich Eisen Show digital coordinating producer staff right here.
The only team I had a little bit of love for was Oakland in 1988 because they gave me the best reason to watch sports. So I will always smile when I hear backdoor slider.
Okay. Sounds like you're closing the back door, Tom. What's on your mind today? What do you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about Brock Purdy.
Okay.
And how amazed I am, and what I don't think people give enough credit to, is just how smart I think this guy is.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough weight to it. I mean, I think Crash Davis helped him do the interview on his report when he speaks to the press.
I think
that's where he learned that. But you see all these rookie quarterbacks and come in, and they all think that they have to have to walk around with a clipboard for a year or two before they can play. And here this guy just walks in, he's won every regular season game that he's ever been in. And it's just, I think it's his smarts, just his way of being able to look at the field and see what's going on.
And just also
and I
just
would put him up there. I'd put him up there with the elite top five quarterback.
Well, he's got the elite top five quarterback type weaponry. And thanks for the call, Tom. It's just, again, what he appears to have is a command and know what Shanahan wants as an extension in a way that, you know, Lance didn't grasp quickly enough. But again, look at how much college ball this guy played at Iowa State. A ton. And clearly, he's an extension of Shanahan in a way that Shanahan didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo was 100% of the time enough. Again, I would take half of that in Zach Wilson right now. There's your throw, make it. There's your throw, make it. There's your back. There's your drop, make it. You know, and let's but Cook and Breece Hall's special enough. Maybe he's not McCaffrey, but he can break away like McCaffrey. Use him. Good Lord. Eric Stone Street of Modern Family fame and one of my favorite humans on the planet. He texted me this morning. I did not see this. Someone who I believe covers the White Sox for a living put together the records of all NFL teams over their last 162 games and broke it down like it's a baseball standings.
So 10 seasons?
It's what it seems like.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a couple with 17 games in
there. The last 2 years have been 17.
Yeah. And put it up on the screen here. Jay Cuda put this together, and it's so wild to see over the last 10 years, we have the AFC up. The Patriots have a 16-game lead over the Bills in the AFC East, as if that's a baseball division. 109-53.
Wow.
The Steelers have an 8-game lead over the Ravens over the last 162. A 46.5-game lead on the Browns, who are 55-106, which is one win less than the Jets of 56-106 because they tied a game. The worst record over the last 162 belongs to the Jaguars at 50-112, 33.5 games behind the Colts for the AFC South pennant.
Wait, are they still better than the A's?
And look at the Chiefs. 116-46 over the last 162, leading the rest of the AFC West by 37 games.
Dang.
No one else is above 500 in that division over the last 162.
Wow. That's
I don't know why this fascinates me. But
pretty cool. It's numbers, fun with numbers.
Oh, the Raiders suck.
And so here's the NFC. This is the tightest lead. The Cowboys lead the Eagles by just a game and a half.
Wow.
The
best.
Just a game and a half. 99-67 are the Cowboys. 93-68-1 are the Eagles. The Packers, no surprise, just a 10-game lead, however, in the NFC North. The Bears have lost an even 100, the only NFC team to have lost 100 games of their last 162. The Giants were at 99 losses. They have one tie to save that. The Saints lead the NFC South by 16.5 over the Panthers, who are just one game under 500. And the Seahawks lead the NFC West by 18.5 games, and they'd be the one seed over the last 162 in the NFC. As the Rams are in second place at 84-78, and the Niners, I think, weighed down by the Tom Sula, Chip Kelly, early Kyle Shanahan years, sitting there at 500. Over the last 162.
Covering the White Sox this year hasn't been that entertaining. But so, you know,
I think this is so much
busy.
Fun. This is so much fun. But the Chiefs having the best record. Stone Street chimes in that his friend Gary said, called them the 1906 Cubs, who have the best single season record in the history of Major League Baseball. At I think they had 116 wins themselves. Yeah.
Well, the Chiefs, they had one.
They've got a ton of games that they've won. There's no question about that. A lot of fun right there, isn't it?
That is cool. Did they win the World Series that year, the 06 Cubs?
I don't know.
They lost to the White Sox, of all things.
I just thought that was fun.
The team with the most wins to win the World Series were the 98 Yankees. They went 114-48.
Well, they went. That was the year that they went 125-50, including the playoffs.
Playoffs, yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the 1906 Cubs had 116-36-3.
Yeah, because they played, what, 54 back?
It's quite an endeavor.
52 back. It's fun.
Would you have thought the Seahawks had the best record in the NFC West over the last 162?
I think they would have been one of my guesses, yeah.
You would have guessed the Seahawks, huh?
Well, they've been really good. They were really good with Russ and the defense.
Remember,
so.
The Niners weren't good for a better part of
that's what I'm saying.
10 years. So, yeah, it's Seattle.
They had the
Tom Sula years.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Of course, Stone Street sending it to me because the Chiefs have the best record in
right. They've been really good.
And that's Alex Smith as part of it too, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. They've been great with 116-46.
A 37-game lead on the Broncos. Of course, the Patriots lead it. The Jets are 53 back. 53 back.
Also, the 0-1 Mariners.
Is that the most games back anybody's been of anybody? Yeah.
No, the
53
Mariners,
games back.
Same record. They were 116-46 as well.
And they got bounced.
Brian Robinson Jr., big hat himself,
big hat.
Top five games of the weekend. Your phone calls still to come for our third hour of the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.